Good evening. Please open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Tonight we'll be looking at a short passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. So a short passage. Before we read a little bit, we need to know a little bit about who the Thessalonians were. And just a few things to point out is that the Thessalonians were a young church, not young in age, but young in spiritual maturity. And they were primarily new Gentile converts. And so this is something for us to keep in mind. But they were also a persecuted church. They knew what it was to suffer for Christ. And so we'll see that in our passage this evening as well. So let's look at this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 and 4, yet I'll start our reading at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. Let's pray. Lord, this is your word, and we thank you that we have the privilege to hear from you this evening. We pray that you would teach us, that you would correct us, that you would rebuke us, and that you would train us in righteousness so that we as the people of God would be equipped for every good work. Lord, would you build us up in the faith and cause us to worship you, even as we listen to the preaching of your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our family recently, we have been trying to train our son to say please and thank you. So if it's dinner time and we're sitting around the table, instead of our son saying, more, 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 right, we're trying to get him to say, more, please. Or if he wants us to get a toy for him off the shelf, instead of just taking the toy out of our hands and immediately running into the next room, we want him to just stop for a second and say, what? Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Why do we do this? We do this, right, because it's kind for people to say please and thank you. And God, after all, wants us to be kind. But in all honesty, our son doesn't always say please. He doesn't always say thank you, much like many children. But even much like us as adults as well. Now, we know that it is kind. It is loving to say please. And it is kind to say thank you. And yet, if you're anything like me, which I'm sure most of you are, we often forget to do this. But what's worse, and what our text is addressing, is that we often forget to thank God. And God, brothers and sisters, is infinitely worthy of our thanksgivings, more so than any human being. And so as we come to our passage this evening, we see that Paul is giving thanks to God. But as we look more closely, we'll see that his actions are actually teaching us something very important. And so the main point I'd like for us to see this evening is that God gives spiritual growth to his children. And so how do we respond to that? Well, we are to give thanks to him and boast and what he is doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I've given you a sermon outline if you'd like to follow along. But you'll see the first thing to see from the passage is that the Thessalonians were growing in three areas in particular: faith, love, and hope. And so let's look at verse 3 again. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. Well, okay, it's clear to see that Paul mentions faith, and he mentions love. It appears that hope maybe is lacking. But I would argue that's not the case, because then look at verse 4, where he says, "Therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of your persecutions and afflictions." You could say, instead of perseverance, steadfastness or endurance. Now, you don't need to turn there with me, but back in 1 Thessalonians, Paul, interestingly enough, begins that letter in a very similar way. And so listen to what he says. This will be 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And so in these verses, Paul does explicitly mention faith, love, and hope. But notice that steadfastness or perseverance is the outcome of hope. It is the outcome of hope in Christ. And so even though Paul does not explicitly mention hope in our passage in 2 Thessalonians, by speaking of their perseverance, of their steadfastness, he is talking about their hope. Nothing has changed from 1 Thessalonians. And so we see Paul's famous triad of faith, love, and hope. Well, let's look at what he has to say about each of these individually. First, he says that their faith is greatly enlarged, or the ESV says is growing abundantly. And this faith, of course, was their faith in Christ. It was their faith in the precious promises found in the Word of God. And Paul says that this faith of theirs was growing abundantly. Now, we miss something in our English translations, because in the Greek we see Paul chose something, a word here, for a particular reason. It's because the word that he uses carries the idea of an internal, organic growth, much like a tree. So we all know that a big oak tree begins as a tiny little acorn. And yet what happens, right? Something internal causes this little bitty acorn to grow over time. It's a slow growth, it's a steady growth, and it's a constant growth, an internal and organic growth. And this seems to be how Paul is describing the Thessalonians' growth in faith, that it was like a tree. It was slow, but it was steady. It was constant as the internal Holy Spirit used the word to bring about such growth. Well, then secondly, Paul says that the love of every one of them was increasing. The love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater, the New American Standard says. Now here again, it seems, Paul chose a particular Greek word for a particular reason. And here the idea is that of expansion or diffusion. The commentator Andrew Young, I think, helps us understand this, where he says, "Love was welling up within them as a fountain and flowing outwards, embracing others in its streams." We've all seen a fountain before. I mean, picture this in your mind. The water is coming up the middle and it goes out. And so their love was diffusive. It was reaching more and more and more people. Well, then lastly, Paul says that they are remaining steadfast in the midst of persecution. They are persevering. And this is because of their hope in Christ. Second Thessalonians is very much a second coming book. There were false teachings going on in this church about the second coming of Christ. And so Paul addresses many of those issues in the rest of the book. But one thing we get generally from the book is that it's important for us to believe or to know what Scripture says about the second coming, because that affects how we live our lives today. And we see a good example of this in the Thessalonians, that they were able to persevere, to remain steadfast in hope because of what was to come. They could go through that time of suffering. Well, it's interesting also that Paul describes their growth in all three of these areas in the present tense. In the present tense. In the ESV, he says their faith is growing abundantly. Their love is increasing. They are enduring. And yet the implication here is clearly that the Thessalonians not only are growing in these areas, but that they should continue to grow in these areas. Right? If we think about faith, love, and hope, none of these things are static things, you could say, right? They can be grown and consciously exercised. Well, as we look at this, we need to examine our own hearts and ask ourselves, are we growing in these areas? Right? Are we growing in these areas? But really, before we can ever look for growth in our lives, we need to first answer the question, are we in union with Jesus Christ? Right? We all need to answer the question, is Jesus your Lord and Savior tonight? Do you know Him? If you are in union with Christ, I trust and hope and pray that many, if not all of you are, then we can ask the question, is your faith growing like a tree? Is your love reaching more and more of your brothers and sisters? And when those tough times of trial and suffering come your way, are you persevering? Are you remaining steadfast? And we need to really be praying for growth in these areas, both for ourselves, but also for our brothers and sisters. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul did. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 13, Paul prays for the spiritual growth of the Thessalonians. And listen to what he says. We pray most earnestly, night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. You see what's happening here? What we're reading in our passage in 2 Thessalonians is answer to Paul's prayer in 1 Thessalonians. Right? He prayed for their growth, and now we see in 2 Thessalonians, God was growing them. Now remember, these were young Christians. These were people who had just come to faith, not long before the writing of these two letters. Now that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for mature Christians, but how much more should we be praying for those around us who have just come to faith in Christ? And so we see the Thessalonians were growing Christians, and that is a call to us. Are we growing Christians? But we also need to remember that God is the one who gives such spiritual growth. This is our second point. God gives the growth. Back in verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you. Now we'll come back to the idea of giving thanks, but notice Paul is thanking God. He's not thanking the Thessalonians for their hard work in these areas. Right? He's not giving the Thessalonians credit for growth. He's thanking God for growth. And this is because Paul knows, as we should know, God gives the growth. the back of your outline, I've given you some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul speaks of this very truth. He says, "For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." This is one example among many that God brings growth. Now, earlier we mentioned that Paul had prayed for the Lord to grow the Thessalonians in these areas. And what we need to realize from Scripture is that Jesus Christ is the source of our growth. Jesus Christ is the source of our growth in grace. I've given you some other verses from John 15 on the back of your outline. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." You see what Jesus is saying here? Right? That if you want to bear fruit, if you want to grow in grace, which you should as a believer, where is that growth going to come from? Jesus Christ alone. Right? Because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing, he says. And so we must be abiding in him, believing upon the Lord, looking to him for growth through his appointed means. Because apart from abiding in Christ, there will be no growth in our lives. Jesus is the vine, and as the branches, we must be connected to him. You know, if you see a branch from an apple tree lying on the ground, would you ever expect that branch to produce apples? No. And this is the picture that Jesus is using. And why is that? Right, for the branch to produce any fruit, it must be connected to the apple tree. And so too, Jesus says, for us as the children of God to produce spiritual fruit, we must be connected to him. Growth comes from Christ alone. Nevertheless, Scripture teaches us that God uses means to grow his people. He uses means, he uses instruments. We have the means of grace, right? The preaching of the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God, prayer, the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, baptism. We also have fellowship. We need each other. And then Scripture also says that God uses suffering to grow his children. Suffering we don't like, but remember, the Thessalonians were persecuted. They were suffering. And Paul says that they were persevering in their persecution, in their suffering. Now, I have given you verses from Romans 5. We won't read those verses now, but look at them later and you'll see Paul clearly teaches that suffering produces endurance. Suffering produces steadfastness. Now, I'm sure many of you know what it's like to suffer. You've experienced illness, the loss of a job, the death of a loved one. I'm sure you could fill in the blanks yourself. Suffering is hard, is it not? It's painful, it hurts. we need to remember that when God brings those times into our lives, when we have various trials, we need to remember that God says He has a purpose for those times of suffering. And what is that purpose? Well, it is to conform us more and more to the image of Christ. It is to conform us more to the image of Christ, Romans chapter 8 tells us. And so God is at work growing His children. And so thirdly, as you recognize growth, what do? Give thanks to God. It's very simple. Verse 3 again. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. And Paul begins here by saying, we ought always to do that. Now, he's speaking here in particular of himself and Silvanus and Timothy, that they ought always to give thanks to God. But Paul's attitude here is not one of reluctance. Some commentators say Paul is reluctantly thanking God. But remember what we said earlier. Right? Paul prayed for this. And now Paul is seeing answer to his prayers. This is a time of joy for Paul. He is rejoicing and thanking God. But notice, though, Paul did not just merely pray for their growth, but he also looked for evidence of their growth. And this is a good reminder for us, too, that as we pray for our own spiritual growth, as well as the growth of others, are we looking for answers to those prayers? Are we expecting answers to those prayers? Are we looking for evidence of growth? It seems to me that we should be looking for evidence to growth as Paul did, so that we can thank the Lord. So that we can thank God, as Paul tells us. Well, furthermore, Paul says, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting. The ESV says that it is right to give thanks to God. It could also say it's proper. It is fitting to give thanks to God. And the idea here is that God is the one who deserves the honor. God is the one who deserves the glory in our growth. Not you, and not me, and not the Thessalonians, and not Paul, but that God gets the thanksgivings for what He is doing. We should not limit our thanks to God only for our own spiritual growth. We should be thanking God for the growth of our brothers and sisters, for each of us here in this room. We should be thanking God for their growth. So let me ask you a few questions. Are you noticing growth in your own life? Do you see growth in your own life? And then, do you thank God for it? Do I thank God for it? Furthermore, though, are you noticing growth in other people here? Are you noticing growth in your brothers and sisters? And are you thanking God for what He's doing in their lives as well? At the RP Church of North Hills, where my family and I worship in Pittsburgh, we have an Iron Man ministry. Iron sharpens iron. And so men are encouraged to frequently meet in order to foster spiritual growth. And so there's a close friend of mine at the seminary. We meet every Friday morning, pray together, read a Christian book together. But what I think we do most importantly is that we share our struggles with one another. We share our struggles and pray for one another. Now, as Christians, we should all be seeking that person, that close friend, with whom we can open our hearts and share our deepest struggles. But in those times, have you ever noticed it can be tempting at times to envy the other person? or be angry with God, thinking a thought such as this: you don't struggle with that anymore? Why do I? Why do I still struggle with it? Right? There's a temptation in those times to think, why is God giving you growth in that area, but He won't give it to me? And I've been praying for it. Right? There's a great temptation, I think, to be envious of what God is doing in other people's lives, to be angry with God for not doing that same thing in your own life. And yet, what did Paul do? He didn't say, Lord, why haven't you grown my faith? But you grew their faith, right? He thanks God. Lord, thank you for growing the Thessalonians. And so we learn from that. Even if God hasn't given us a lot of growth in one particular area, but He has given that to another person in the church, are we praising the Lord for what He is doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters? And as we realize that all spiritual growth comes from God alone, how much more should we always be thanking Him? We're not growing ourselves. God is growing us, and He deserves the glory and the honor and the thanks and the praise for it. Well, furthermore, and this is our fourth and final point, it is good to boast in what the Lord is doing in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ, because it encourages even more growth. Look with me at verse 4. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. We speak proudly among you. What he's saying here is we boast, the ESV says. We boast in what's going on here. Now, back in 1 Thessalonians, we're not going to read the verses, but Paul says that the report of what God was doing in that church was far-reaching. In other words, so many of these pagans were converting to Christ, all the other churches in the area were hearing, God is doing a mighty work in Thessalonica. Many people were hearing about this. But now in our passage, Paul is saying that even he himself and his companions, Silvanus and Timothy, now are boasting in what the Lord is doing in Thessalonica. And he says they are boasting, they're speaking proudly in the churches of God. We don't know for sure what churches he's talking about here, but and just read the New Testament. We see Paul kept in touch with many of the churches that he ministered to, and so this would have been quite easy for him to do, to boast of what the Lord was doing in Thessalonica. Now, when we think of the word boasting, we normally don't think of it as a good thing, do we? Most of the time, we tend to think that boasting and thanksgiving are incompatible. But that is not necessarily true. I've given you a quote on the back of your outline from John Stott, and I think this is a fantastic quote. It really helps us understand what's going on here. He says, "For thanksgiving and boasting appear incompatible, since thanksgiving gives the credit to God, while boasting gives it to human beings. Yet, there is one kind of boasting which is perfectly compatible with thanksgiving, because in reality, it is a synonym. It is boasting in the Lord. In that sense, thanking and boasting are two sides of the same coin. When talking to God, we thank Him for His grace. When talking to human beings, we boast of His grace." You see what he's saying? There is a proper way of boasting. And Paul himself speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 21, where he says, "First, let no one boast in men, Right, that is clear. We are not to boast in men. But then back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, but let the one who boasts do what? Boast in the Lord. Our boasting is always to be in what God is doing and not to be in what we are doing. And so Paul tells us that he boasted to other people about what God was doing in Thessalonica. But he's also boasting to the Thessalonians by telling them how thankful to God he is for their growth. And so it's good for us then, we can take from this passage, it's good for us to boast to our brothers and sisters about the work God is doing in the lives of particular people. But it's also good to boast about what God is doing in the lives of those particular people to those particular people. Let me give you an example to help understand this. All right, if I happen to notice that my wife, Anne, is growing in a particular way, and then I can say to her, Anne, I've really noticed growth in this one area, and I just want to know that I praise God for what he is doing in your life. Now, doing something like this, right, I'm letting Anne know that her growth is obvious. And that should lead her to think, wow, God really is growing me. And that should lead her to say, thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in my life. You see, my boasting in the Lord to my wife should encourage her to want to keep growing. But don't misunderstand me, I'm not flattering Anne. Right, there's a difference here. I've given you another quote from the commentator Andrew Young about this that I think is very helpful. He says, flattery is wrong, but so too is a failure to acknowledge God's grace at work within people. There is a place for telling others of the evident grace of God in their lives. Properly done, it can result in enormous encouragement without creating the least taint of pride. There is a right way of boasting and acknowledging God's work. But notice the other side of the coin then is I could boast to people in the church, to you, about what God is doing in the life of my wife. So if I'm talking to one of you, I could then say, you know what? God has really been growing my wife in this area. Have you noticed that? Right? And that should lead that person, should lead you to then think, wow, God really is growing in that area. But then to thank God for what God is doing there, but also to want that growth in your own life. Right? You're encouraged by what God is doing in someone else's life. And that leads us to then want that in our own lives and to seek the Lord to bring that to us as well. And Paul does just this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I won't read the verses, but Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about the generosity of the Macedonians. Okay? And in doing this to the Corinthians, he clearly attributes the generosity of the Macedonians to the grace of God. Right? He is giving the credit to the Lord. But why is he even mentioning the generosity of the Macedonians to the Corinthians? He's doing it because he wants the Corinthians to also be generous givers, just as the Macedonians were. So you see, Paul boasts in the Lord about what he is doing in the lives of the Macedonians to the Corinthians to encourage further growth in the Corinthians. It's a beautiful picture of what is going on here. We need to realize that Jesus does use boasting in his work to promote further growth in his people. When it's springtime and the grass in your lawn is growing, it normally means it's time to get your lawnmower out and start trimming the lawn. However, it is not all that uncommon, then, to save your grass clippings and sprinkle them on the newly trimmed lawn. Now, why do you do that? Why do you do that? Well, it's because the previous growth furthers or fuels continued growth in your lawn. Right? You leave the grass clippings on your lawn because the growth fuels even more growth. Jesus uses the growth of people to fuel or to further more growth in the lives of other people. Now, at my home congregation in Bloomington, Indiana, when you become a member of the church, the session normally asks you to share your testimony in a worship service to the congregation of how God saved you. And most people aren't, you know, dying to get up front and talk in front of a large group of people. But why does the session have the new members do this? What's the point? Well, even though most people are not overly excited to get up behind the pulpit and talk about what God has done in their lives, I think the session rightly realizes that by the congregation hearing what God has done in someone else's life, the rest of the congregation is encouraged by it. It leads the rest of the congregation to praise the Lord. It leads the rest of the congregation to want that growth and that work of the Lord in their own lives. And I'm sure you've been in some situation where you're with the people of God and you hear someone talk about God's work in their lives. Right? The purpose of those activities is for the encouragement of the other people. And so we boast in what God is doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that God is glorified. Yes, that is the purpose. But also so that the people of God are encouraged and desire to keep growing. And so God gives spiritual growth to His children. And our response is to give thanks to Him and to boast in what He is doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters. And if we've not done that before, may tonight, by the grace of God, be the beginning of it. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for Your word. And we confess before You that we do not thank You as we should. We do not boast in Your work as we should. Will You forgive us? Or would You open our eyes to see what You are doing in our own lives, that we might thank You all the more for it? And would You open our eyes to see what You are doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters, so that we would thank You even more for it? And cause us, Lord, to boast in You and what You are doing to each other, that that might be an encouragement to others. And Lord, I pray that You would grow us, that our faith would be growing abundantly, that our love for one another would be increasing, and that we would be remaining steadfast in the midst of suffering. Lord, how we pray for that. Ask You to do that. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God. Amen.